Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the show. Today is Wednesday, May 11th, which means it's a day after my birthday, actually, folks. And I had...
Happy birthday, Sammy! You didn't say a word!
I know, because you know what? You're not on freaking Facebook, so you don't know.
I hate Facebook, and that's why... Not because of birthdays, but because I just... I hate the idea of anything when, like, your grandparents can get on it. It's like, fuck that, I'm out.
Yeah, I hear you. The voice with me here is Leah Pelka, who always... is available to cover, who is very reliable.
Aww.
And very beautiful, of course.
Thank
Every
you.
Time you come here, people are like, who is that girl, you know?
Aww.
So last night was no exception. People asked me who you were.
Aww.
And I told them where they can find you. Where can they find you on the channel here? You're on a video show.
Yeah, I am.
Tell
I'm
people
on a video
about
show.
It.
It's Modern Male with Jared Zavistowski. He has a book out right now. I'm going to go ahead and plug it for him because I love him so much. He'll be so proud of me right now. Jared, I love you. He has a book out right now. It's Modern Male, and you can get it on Amazon.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, we talk about like dating and millennials and kind of how like Tinder applies into it. It's just a whole conglomerate of just like the dating scene and how it's changed so much with technology and in our age group and the things we do different and the kind of things we could do better and stuff.
Yeah.
You good,
like
boo?
I'm feeling a piece of hair on the headphones here.
Is your mane messed
up? I don't like other people's hair on my ears.
Well,
at
me
anyway.
Either. That's a
crazy
fetish to
we
have.
We cleaned them last night, but I don't think it's hair. I think it was just like a string or something. But at any rate... Yeah, for those of you who haven't been listening, Kelsey had to suddenly leave the show because of personal family problems. And so we bid her farewell, and the show must go on.
Right.
So this is the show. Today we're going to have a guest calling in a few minutes. We're going to talk about modern warfare and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah.
So I hope you like it. It's he wrote a book called Shadow War, and I looked at it. They sent it to me, and it looks amazing. It's at least it's along my line of interest. So
it's funny because I'm so anti-war. You know, I'm like Namaste and shit. You know me. I'm like vegan and cruelty free. But at the same time, when I go to have like literature, especially when I'm reading for fun, I'll read historical fiction, usually predominantly centered around war.
Yeah.
So it's like funny that I'm so like, and that may be why like the past lives things, we talked about that last night, but it may just be something where it's like it's too sensitive for me. But my grandparents, my grandfather was in the Navy, and mad respect for the military, don't get me wrong. I just, for some reason, it just makes me so sad.
Yeah, you're anti-war. I understand that. I think many people are, but you have to understand something.
Oh, it's necessary. I get it.
Yeah, because if your enemy fights you, you have to go to war.
Oh, I mean, I'm not saying I don't see the need for it. I'm just saying, like, I wish we didn't have to have it, and I hate that it exists, and I hate that there's a need for it, but I'm very proud of everyone who can get out there and do something like that. But it's still just so sad to have to think about, like...
Yeah, all the suffering and stuff.
Right,
I mean, did you see yesterday, ISIS burned 20 women in a cage because they were trying to flee the town. That was their crime. So ISIS in Syria.
I didn't see that. See, like, that's
Syria.
The kind of stuff. Like,
yeah, I mean,
like,
how can people, how can you even imagine such cruelty, you know, to other human beings? How is that possible? Whereas America goes
even,
to
like,
help other people that get persecuted, you know, to try and extend freedom to other places. And, you know, and people criticize us for that, for being imperialistic, you know. So, okay, whatever. So, what are we supposed to do? What are we supposed to do? Let other people suffer? No, we are decent human beings here in America. And I think we've shown that again and again, you know.
I mean,
American,
like, you're super
exceptionalism.
Passionate on it. You're real passionate on that, huh?
Yeah, I am. I love America.
No, I can understand why.
And
you're from a different country, so you definitely have a different appreciation than I do. I'm definitely spoiled by being here.
Probably, yeah. But I think you also understand. I think you'll. You probably realize every time you travel. Do you travel out of the country sometimes?
I do.
Yeah. Don't you feel good coming back?
I mean,
like back home,
but see, that's so
America.
Funny. It's like, I feel like men have such a stronger, men are like, that's what's so funny about men is I feel like men are very strong-minded and like, I'm very laid back. And that's what's so funny. It's like, that's what women are supposed to do. They're supposed to be more calm. So like, when I go out the country, I'm like, oh, this is such a nice reprieve and it's so beautiful out here. And
Yeah.
Like, I don't see it that way so much. I don't see it as an inconvenience. And then, but I think that's what's so great about feminine energy is it's always so different and calms things down. So it's like, I can see why you would be that way. But for
what
me,
what do you mean
female,
inconvenience? Like traveling somewhere else?
No, I mean, like, it doesn't bother, like, you know, I guess how you're saying, like, are you glad to come back to America? I guess the things that I, that are taken away from me as, like, American privilege, I'm almost thankful for it, for the brevity, like, the brief time, because I feel like it's cathartic and it's nice and I'm doing something different and I'm unplugging and I'm hippie and it's nice.
No, absolutely. So. You know, I mean, even, look, I lived in Israel for a year and then in my 30s and then in South Africa for a year. And although I enjoyed South Africa immensely, it was nice to know I can always go back to America.
Right.
You know, because that's home. That's where most freedom exists for everyone.
Right.
You know, you
and
can't find a freer
American,
place.
And Native American, so you have to remember, I don't believe that land belongs to people. So I have this whole different, like, a woo-woo view on things, too. You know what I mean? So it's like, but yeah, I think it's, but I can understand exactly where the passion would come from, because it's like my grandfather had it as well. He moved from a different country.
Yeah. So you have American Indian in you, right? Like Native American.
I do.
How did you discover that? I mean, is it like... immediate generation for you?
It was firsthand passed to me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
so,
wow.
I mean, yeah, absolutely. All the knowledge. Just, like, I can sew moccasins. I can actually make dream catchers.
Wow.
I can speak some Ojibwe. I have a Native American name. So it's like, yeah, all of those things. It's very firsthand for me. Not like one of those swab and, oh, genealogy. I have like 1/10 of a, like, let me get my college free. Not so
right.
Much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I was thinking, because genealogy might help. But if you already know, then you don't really need
genealogy. I've had mine done because my daughter had to have a genetic testing done. So
oh, really?
Actually, I've had mine done, and then I had it done for fun as well.
Yeah, so what do you... Yeah, I need to have it done. We have a show here on genealogy, and I'll ask her to do it for me.
It's very cool.
But, so, I mean, did you find out anything interesting about yourself, about your family, roots, anything?
No, not really, no. I mean, like, there's obviously some white mixed in with the Native, which happens and is going to happen. I don't know where that happened, but I mean... I'm sure.
Oh, like, you know, I mean, the Wild West, you always saw them, like, mixing and stuff, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, like, they were more up towards the north, towards, like, Ottawa, Canada, like, that area, territory, the Chippewa territory.
Mm-hmm.
Not, like, the Wild
West.
Like, Nez Perce, crazy Indians. And they weren't, like, the southern low-key, like, Choctaw or anything else either, Creek.
Yeah. Do you know anything about Indian history and stuff? Did you get into
I
it
do.
At all?
I do. I
you obviously know a lot about
tears.
It. I never heard of those names.
Yeah, I walked the Trail of Tears.
Really?
Yeah, I did.
Well, where is it?
It's in Mississippi. It starts in Mississippi near Natchez.
Mm-hmm.
So it's part. There are parts of it, so you walk parts of it. And, you
I
know,
see.
Like, when I was younger, we would go to the reservation. We would play games. And, like, one of them was, one of the kids would sit, like, maybe a couple feet or yards out.
Uh-huh.
And they would close their eyes and they would center themselves. And it's a hunting game, but you learn to walk beside them and walk all the way up to them by being quiet. And if they hear you, they'll point to you.
Really?
And it's like Marco Polo on
land.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
So, like,
wow.
Yeah. And then, like, I learned to use a bow at a very young age. I can make pottery. I mean, so, and I'm very thankful for all these skills. Like, I can go and catch a fish, take a fish, gut a fish, cook a fish on an open face fire. That's so primitive.
Awesome.
And cool.
Yeah,
there, like,
you go.
So it's, yeah. So,
yeah.
Like, it's, if you want to get
cave
lost
woman.
In the woods, come with me. Yeah. Let's do it. So I'm appreciative of that. Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. Very cool. So, well, this is nice. So, So you are on Modern Male. Yesterday you were a guest on Ghost Line, which is another show here.
I was.
Well, you're definitely a friend of the station, you know. I mean,
I know.
You're like, you spend every day here, so.
I love it, though.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite things.
Yeah, there's chemistry here between you and LA Talk Radio.
I know. It's like we were talking earlier. It's like so funny because it's so incestual. Like, I just like stay in the family and just keep bopping around to each show. But I love it. It's so cool because it's like every show has a new energy and a different
right?
energy.
Right? Yeah. That's
so it's
what
like
it's
a different
about.
Piece of me gets to come out that day. And it's fun. It's nice.
That's exactly what the station is about. You take different perspectives on different things, different topics. And yeah, I mean, I sometimes go on other shows and we talk about politics all the time or dating or whatever, where on this show we talk about everything, really. So
we talk about everything.
Thing, resting
bitch face, Donald Trump,
exactly.
Marijuana,
we talked
mothers.
About a lot of stuff. Yeah, I know. Well, yeah, like, for example, how do women handle their periods in space?
Wait, what?
How do women handle their
I've
periods
I've never
in
asked
space?
That question
right?
before
Nobody
in
ever
my
has.
Freaking life.
Right, but NASA is asking, and a lot of people that are doing research are asking, and they're finding out, amazingly, that whereas many systems of the human body change when you're in space, the menstruation does not. So it stays the same.
I mean, but of course not, because
well, you don't know
everything
that.
Everything else changes, and we're all like, fingers crossed.
Yeah,
like,
right?
Up there like, yay! And yeah. then, of course, that's the one thing that's right on time.
Like, right.
And we're wearing white space suits. Perfect.
Yeah, that's true, right? So now, what do you think they would do? Like, I mean, if you had to go and you didn't want to deal with it, what would you do?
I mean, what can do you mean you, not? You don't well, have an then, option to not deal with
well,
it.
Well, apparently like you do happens. Because when they take contraceptives, they put their periods on hold, it says. Right?
Well,
I guess when you take the pill, right?
Well, yeah, there is. There's yeah. one that's... There's,
but wait a minute. The pill regulates it, but
well,
it
I was just about to say, there's another one that you can take, and it's a different pill, because I had to take it at one point, and I actually... got pregnant and didn't know it. I was 16
wow.
weeks pregnant with Abigail before I knew I was pregnant with her.
Wow.
Because it gives you symptoms like you're pregnant because it holds you back from having your period, making your body believe you're pregnant. That's how it does it. So it's even worse because
whoa.
You're like all sensitive and crying over some dumb shit and you're not even pregnant and don't have a good reason. You just look crazy.
Yeah, and you don't
horrible.
Know why, right?
Yeah, and it's suddenly I had all the symptoms and then my stomach was coming out and I was like, wait, just a minute. Like, and so, yeah.
Wow. I know the tribulations of being a woman, you know.
Do you?
I don't know. I don't know. But they're saying that, I guess also an interesting thing is they're saying a few waste disposal facilities can handle human blood, but they were not originally designed to do so.
No,
so,
you
yeah.
have to do something different with chemical waste. You have to treat it, you have to bury it, and it has to be in some kind of a vac seal bag. So that's why it's important, A, not to dump your medications into water because it can get in the water system, and then
right.
two, not to dump your medical waste into regular because, you know, I
right.
know this, funeral homes. We have
yeah.
to have a special tank to catch our waste,
right.
our water waste.
Right.
And then they come out and the eco people will come out and dump it.
Mm.
And so it's the same thing. You can't put in medical supply stuff. We would get fined and be in so much trouble if we did that.
Yeah. Well... so that was being a wait. That was working at a funeral home, right?
Cheers.
Huh?
Cheers. It was.
No, because I'm saying the most people may not have heard you before being in working in a funeral home. So that's what I'm saying.
I'm so well. Like if anyone
okay, you
were
have to understand
me,
radio. Sometimes you have to repeat things.
Yeah,
for people,
I know. But if anyone were to look at me, it's funny because I look like Morticia too, and I always have this like super straight face. So it's like super fitting. And I'm usually in black. It's super fitting that I'd be in a funeral home.
Yeah, right.
I just like I have the person. Yeah, I loved it. I loved working with the dead. It was
that's
one of
amazing.
The coolest things I've ever done.
Yeah, that's amazing. So. It doesn't bother you. Does it bother you to watch surgery and things like that?
Yes,
probably
I don't
want to
see
right?
anyone alive get hurt. I'll cry with you. It's
no,
not,
but surgery,
it's
you don't
cool.
really get hurt. I mean, are you okay with seeing the intestines and everything and all
not
the inside?
If I can hear the heart, like the beat. Like if
right.
I know they're alive, I'm not
really?
Okay with that. It's uncomfortable for me. It's just because it's like their life is on that table and it's so
right.
stressful.
But if they're dead, you're okay with opening
perfectly
up their body
fine.
And stuff?
Perfectly fine.
Really?
Yeah,
wow.
I mean, nothing's going to happen.
So
like,
tell me something. Now, do you guys like... What do you like? Take the stuff out, and you only leave a shell. And I mean, what do they do to the body? How do you preserve it
what
for a few days
no,
like
this
that?
This is not mummification.
I know, but I thought maybe they do something.
No, we can't. Yeah,
well,
we
I mean,
do.
But
we,
you put makeup on the person.
No,
you try
so
to fix the face, right?
We exsanguinate the body, which means remove the blood.
Oh, so you
and
just
so,
remove
and
the
and
blood.
You put
okay.
the formaldehyde in place of the blood.
Okay,
so you
gotcha.
Use opposing valve flow with arteries
man.
And veins.
Yeah. See, well, I mean, why do people do that? Why? Why even go through the trouble?
Well,
bury the fucking thing.
Well, someone has to do it, and you like, I mean, to each
no,
turn.
But you bury, no, the, yeah. I don't know, well, but you know, you bury the person. It's kind of morbid to see someone dead lying here
I
next to you.
I agree
know?
With you. I actually want to be buried in the same context most people in Judaism do.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be wrapped in a shroud and then leave me in a disposable
yeah, exactly.
box. But that's not everyone's mentality. And so
yeah,
for those
no,
that don't, I'm
true.
Willing to take your money. Like, that's how
that's
I saw
true,
it as
yeah.
a business. Like,
but you know what they say? They say that until the body is buried, the soul is not released. So, you know, there could
so
be there something
I am
there.
Standing
I
in a room
know.
Full of bodies and souls.
Yeah. Okay, there we go. So we're going to get to our guest right now who's calling in. And we're going to talk to Sean McFay. Sean, are you on the line with us?
He will be joining you here momentarily.
Awesome. Thank you. Yeah, Sean is having interviews back-to-back today, and we had to squeeze
so
this one in. Yeah, well, sometimes they do, like,
press
things
junket.
Yeah, where they do the whole you know, to do back to back. So
kit and caboodle.
Yeah, so they asked us to be on time too, and
here we are.
So we'll do that. Yeah, the book is Shadow War, and I guess the character is Tom Locke. That's the main character on there. You're right here. I think I'm hearing something, Sean.
Yes, hi.
Yes, hi, Sean. Welcome to the show, Sean. This is Sam, and we have Leah here. And
good morning.
Yes, we're honored to have you on the show, Sean. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well.
Awesome. Where are you calling us from this morning? Where are you located?
Washington, D.C.
Oh, I see. That's okay. Nice. And that makes sense because you've been involved in a lot of military and government and things like that, right?
That's right. Yes, exactly.
Yeah. What? So tell us a little bit about your background. I mean, you wrote a book called Shadow War. Obviously, you have to know a lot about what you're writing, or you're spending many years doing research about stuff you don't know. So I imagine you know quite a bit about it. Tell us a little bit about what it is that you do.
Yeah, well, I mean, Shadow War is an international action thriller in the style of, you know, Tom Clancy or Brad Thor or Daniel Silva. My background is this actually began as a memoir and ended up as a novel.
Wow.
You know, Tom Locke he's the main character of the series, is a high-end mercenary, and he works in the world of high-end mercenaries. And my background is I used to be a U.S. Army paratrooper for many years in the 82nd Airborne Division. Mm-hmm. And then I got out and worked in the private military world, mostly in Africa. Uh-huh. And did that for a while, then got out, did a couple things, got a PhD and some other things. But I always wanted to write about this world through the viewpoint of a novel, because I think sometimes fiction is a better platform for truth than nonfiction.
Right. It gives you a little more freedom to go outside the box a little bit.
Yeah, it gives you more freedom. You can craft a better story, and you don't have to worry about divulging U.S. secrets,
right,
or corporate secrets and stuff like that.
That's true, yeah. So the book started, you said, as a memoir. So we can assume that many of the stuff in there actually happened in some form?
Yeah, so the book, even though it's a novel, it's based on actual events.
Right.
And a lot of, you know, it's pretty gritty at times, and that's all real stuff I've done, stuff I've seen, and it tries to be as realistic as possible.
Yeah.
Do you find it cathartic to write about it, or do you find it more troublesome and like you need to get it off your chest kind of a thing?
Well, it's a little bit of both, frankly. In some ways, it gives you the opportunity to rethink things. And I think fiction is better because to write a memoir, it can be really painful. But, you know, my interest in this was not so much sort of a self-cathartic on a public stage as it was to sort of reveal to the world, you know, a new type of warfare that's occurring around the world. I call them shadow wars, where, you know, these are wars that don't necessarily involve countries,
yeah,
yet they're wars. Or they are a mixture of wars and, I mean, of countries and corporations and super rich people and mercenaries and terrorists and stuff like that.
Nice.
Awesome. So, So the main character is Tom Locke. Now, you said series. Have you written a couple more before? Are you planning to write more in the future?
So this is the first in the series.
Okay.
This is Shadow War is the first of the Tom Locke books. We've got a sequel that we're finishing up right now that'll come out a year from now that picks up where this book leaves off.
Mm.
A little bit of a cliffhanger. And then we hope there'll be more books.
Yeah. Wow. Nice. So Shadow Wars, can you elaborate a little bit on that? What does it mean? You said it doesn't involve countries.
Yeah, so, you know, basically Tom Locke is this high-end mercenary, right?
He's
a former paratrooper. he works Africa. He is pulled out of Africa to do a U.S. contract in Ukraine, and it's a secret contract that really the CIA or the military should be doing, but it's now outsourced to this company, which is realistic.
Yeah.
And it's to put in line an oligarch that the U.S. wants to take over Ukraine as president to fight the war there against Putin. Locke shows up. He doesn't understand. Immediately he realizes that who he thinks he's working for is not who he's working for.
Oh,
and the contract he's working under is a little mysterious as well. And he gets kind of sucked in to this strange war in Ukraine, where you have, you know, Putin and Ukraine, but you also have mercenaries, you have, you know, like corporations and oil companies with militaries, and you have private, you know, all sorts of weird things are going on there.
Well,
war is not basically, no longer is war about states versus states, militaries versus militaries. It looks quite different than that.
Yeah, it sounds like you can't even know who is who anymore, you know?
That's right.
Yeah, who's fighting who?
Laws of war. Exactly. So, you know, in some ways he's a, you know, he's a battlefield, it's a battlefield tour. In some ways he's like Jason Bourne, but other ways he's not, you know, fighting himself out, punching out of every situation. He's using his greatest weapons, his mind and his shrewdness.
Yeah. You see, now that's interesting. I like that, you know, because it's more than just action. You have a psychological aspect to it, you know, and that's what I like about thrillers.
Right. It's like all this like Illuminati and like New World Order stuff sounds like it might be more real than most people are trying to lead on to be. It's like super terrifying. I mean, that you're talking about this. I'm like, this is like more, sounds more real than fiction. I'm like, oh no, we're screwed.
There's some of that there. There's his boss, his name is Brad Winters, he's the CEO of his company, and he's like he's a real player, shall we say. He's he's working Washington, he's working Houston, he's working New York, he's working London to really go into power for himself.
Right.
And, you know, what happens when you have a huge CEO with his own private army? And that's kind of what he's trying to do.
Yeah.
Wow,
yeah.
Terrifying.
So, Sean, so are you saying you were actually a mercenary at 1.2, or were you only working for the government after your military service?
I was a private military contractor.
Okay.
Some people think of them as mercenaries. Some people don't. I worked mainly U.S. government contracts, although a lot of people wouldn't see, like, doesn't, you know, some people think that makes it legitimate. Other people say it doesn't make any difference at all.
Right.
But we're entering this world where, you know, we're seeing mercenaries being used in Nigeria and Ukraine and Syria, Iraq and Yemen, all over the world.
Right.
The mercenary trade is resurrecting.
Wow.
And they're not just working for the U.S. government anymore. They're working for everybody.
Can I ask you a quick question?
How does that change everything?
Can I ask you a quick question? How has your mentality changed from prior military and then all the knowledge you gained and all the things that you saw and how you view the world now and how it operates? How much did it change?
It changed radically. So
right.
When I was in the Army, when I was in the military, I was like, you know, U.S. strong power, fighting forces of disorder and patriotism.
Right.
And then working in the private military world, you learn that the world's a lot more nuanced and a lot more gray than that.
Right.
You work for corporations who, you know, nominally work for the U.S. government, but their main interest is to their shareholders.
Right.
You're also seeing private, you also see military, like mercenaries working for warlords and for, you know, corporations, like Fortune 500 corporations, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And you realize that international relations is not what we read about in seventh grade in social studies.
Wow, that's very interesting. So there's a whole thing going on behind the scenes that people don't know. Wow. So, yeah, so people hire probably usually former military people as mercenaries. And they hire them as professional soldiers, right? I mean, it's like it has nothing to do with any national alliance or allegiance or anything like that.
No, these are like, you can hire basically the equivalent of special operations units or private CIA-type companies, and they exist out there now.
I have a really good friend who has one.
Really?
He's in Alexandria. Yeah, he's in Alexandria, not far from you, and he used to work in special forces. His whole family's military, and he actually has one. He's the creepiest, most good-looking 007 guy I've ever seen in my life. It's crazy, though.
Very cool. Sean, we should also give credit to your co-author, Brett Witter. Is this your first collaboration together?
This is. Brett Witter is a great writer. He co-wrote Monuments Men and some other books, New York Times bestsellers. We're a great team. This is our first collaboration. We've done the second book together, and we'll see where this takes us.
Yeah, very cool. So it's easier to write a book, right, when you have someone to collaborate with. It's like being in a business, you know, having a partner or something.
It is. I mean, I think the idea, though, is, you know, I'll take over the series solo after a few books. But working with Brett has been really fantastic. And he also can draw things out of me that I would not think about. He kind of, you know, I'm in Washington, D.C., and he can sort of take me out of my Washington, D.C. bubble, which is wonderful.
Yeah, amazing. And I wanted to ask, how long does it take to write something like this?
It took about a year from writing about it, like 6 to 8 months, and then all the other publishing work that has to be done. But the second book's coming out a year from now, so, you know, pretty much a year.
Yeah, yeah. Nice. Very cool. Well, it's nice to be able to bring all your experiences into a book that lets you showcase your experiences, what you know, what you've learned. So now you're a paratrooper. I wanted to ask you, I always wondered about this. I mean, does it get easier to jump off planes once you start doing that?
Oh, yeah. You know, jumping out of a plane is just one more way to get to the battlefield.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, easy for you to say.
I'd rather take foot. Like, yeah. Can I take the foot car option? Because I'm good with that.
Yeah, there you go. You could never get me to jump off a plane. Well, maybe
never,
when I was young. That's
never.
Why they...
And like in the ocean? Fuck that, too. I'm not in the Navy either.
Yeah. Well, at any rate, Sean, thank you so much for joining us. Everybody go get the book Shadow War. And Sean McFate and Brett Witter. Has this come out yet, Sean?
It's out. It's on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, bookstores everywhere.
Sounds great.
It's also in, you know, on Audible and et cetera, Kindle.
Awesome. Well, again, congratulations, Sean. Everybody go out, get the book. Is there a way people can contact you on social media or anything if they want to?
They can. People can contact me. I have a Twitter account, Sean McFate, and my website is seanmcfate.com.
Sounds good. Simple enough. Sean, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Nice to meet you, Sean.
Thank you. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Of course. Much success to you with the book and the future ones as well.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye. That's way interesting.
Yeah, you dropped the F-bomb.
Sure did.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
I know, well.
But, no, I mean, like, listen, when it comes down to air
edit it out.
Water, it's terrifying.
Yeah. No, I mean, look, on the show we do that, but it's like when you have a guest that you don't know and they call from somewhere else and they're trying to promote something, you drop the F-bomb on there.
He's going to have to use the first 15 seconds instead of the last 15 seconds
and
for his snippet.
So they're going to have to either edit it out if they want to save it, or scratch it all together, you know, which, yeah, it was a great interview, you know. I hope they save it and they just say, okay, well, Leah, you know, she put the F word in there. He enjoyed it seemed, but maybe he didn't expect it.
I think you're doing what you always do and overthinking everything. You're the biggest overthinker.
Don't reveal this to anybody.
Don't reveal that you're an overthinker to anyone. No one will ever know, Sam.
Yeah, right?
They never listen to you in the morning. No one will ever know. It's our secret, boo. It's our secret.
Yeah. Okay, so I overthink things. Everybody's got their own, you know.
Their
I call thing. Them scratches. They're like a scratch on a record, you know.
Oh, like they're little
the imperfection,
nuances.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, well, that's cool.
It shows you how old I am when I'm talking
Mine's
about vinyl records, right? Yeah. But no, I mean, that's fine. It was a cool thing. I love books like this. They sent me a copy. So
it's very interesting.
Yeah,
he,
I mean, I read stuff like that. I love it. I love to know that there's all this action going on behind the scenes
and
that there's actually real people doing this, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine deciding one day I'm going to be a mercenary? But I guess you decide that after you were a troop. A soldier for several years, you know?
Yeah, like that really good friend of mine, he was in Special Forces. He's young, too. He's like not even, he's maybe 30 now. But his whole family, they have like six kids. There's one little girl left, and then most of them are boys, and they're all in the military.
Wow.
And so, you know, it's just a huge thing for him. And when he got out, and he started working for the government, he was like, I want to do something else for myself, too. And he made a company.
Wow.
And that's kind of like, I never understood what he did, but I hooked him up with my friends who's also in the military to help with the site. But yeah, I mean, it's just crazy to think that like that may be what he was talking about. I'm like, oh my God, like he's so, because he's like, he's one of the best looking guys I've ever seen in my life. I mean, he's just, it would just be crazy.
Yeah.
It would just be perfect material to write about. I mean,
that's
I
true.
See
yeah.
It would be perfect. Yeah. It's
but
good.
Usually
so
they don't choose these guys to be spies, you know, only in movies, because a spy needs to be like inconspicuous, you know, and if you get a really good looking man, he's not going to be disappearing
into
the clouds.
I don't think he's going up there, shown up in military fatigues either. I think he's pretty low key, which is also kind of like it's new and different and crazy. Like that's just wild to me. Like he's like he is basically Brad Pitt in the very beginning of Mr. and Mrs. Smith. Like that's crazy to know someone like that. That's ridiculous.
True. Wow.
I haven't talked to him in a long time. I should say it to him. Yeah. I think about it. But yeah. I mean, that's wild.
Sounds cool. Well, so we have the elections coming up. Oh, so you want to know how my birthday was yesterday?
I sure did.
Yeah, since you didn't ask. Yeah, since you didn't ask.
I did. I said happy birthday.
It was, I got to tell you, it was a normal day. We did go out to dinner, very nice dinner. I got some nice gifts and stuff, and it was nice. Everybody called. You know, like 400 messages on Facebook or posts, which was very nice. You know, I mean,
that's
one thing about social media. It reminds people that you have a birthday. You know, and when you get a lot of wishes like that, it makes you feel good. Even if some people just kind of like write a couple things or put a meme or something,
it's still nice that they take the time to do something.
They do,
though.
Yeah. Although it takes, how much effort does it take to say happy birthday?
You're such a negative Nelly.
I'm
there
not.
You go
Shut
again.
Up.
I'm you the, are. You're no, so negative.
No, but I told you I so appreciate this. I thanked everybody.
And then you
I
turn around and bitched about it.
If it didn't mean a lot, I wouldn't have brought it up. Okay, so
it does mean a lot.
Yeah, it okay, means a lot.
For the record, it means a lot to Sam.
Exactly.
People
the people that
birthday.
I know. No, the people that I know, it means a lot.
I can't believe
the
I
people
missed
that
it.
I don't know. Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Well, you haven't been around. You've been,
I haven't. I
you've been on another planet.
San Diego is the extraterrestrial.
And I'm sure not going to call anybody and say, hey, it's my birthday today.
I know. I wish I would have known, though. I'd have brought you something.
It's okay.
Is that what the cupcakes are doing out front?
Yeah. Okay. We have many more here. We have to put them all out so people can eat them.
There you go.
Great cupcakes and everything. So
I
got a cake, too.
When I walked in, I was like, ew.
Yeah. What?
There, I was like, those were here when I came in last night.
We just put them out last night.
Oh, did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because we have several trays in the refrigerator.
Why are you yelling at me?
No, because you're kind of like attacking me.
What? Who is attacking you?
You are. Okay, you're implying that we put out there like shit that's not fresh.
That's not what I'm saying.
Okay, so what are you saying?
It's not a delicatessen, so it doesn't matter.
Okay, so you tell me what you meant. Why did I misunderstand what you said?
I don't know. That happens
on the
reg, though. You're always your first answer is like, it's a negative comment. No, I was just saying, like last night, I was like, those were here last night. Like, what's going on? Like, what's going on? Like, was sometime miss some shit? Like, that's what I was saying.
Okay,
like,
all
when
right.
I came in, I was like,
you're right. I totally perceive shit.
It's so incorrectly.
Incorrectly,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I need to take off my whatever glasses I have and put on rose-colored glasses. Right?
All negative.
Right.
Yeah. But it's cool. I think that you're getting out of that. We've talked about
no,
it
No, I mean, look, it's been really, I think it's been my life. My life's destiny is to deal with that negativity. I mean, I grew up with two parents that are very negative.
Working on it, Sam.
No, hey, I started working this as soon as I discovered this, which was years ago. Okay.
Whoa.
But yeah, I mean, look, it comes and it goes. I'm a lot better than I used to be.
Right.
But it also depends at, you know, at the stage of in your life and whatever. But maybe it's because my parents are back now and I'm getting all that back from them, you know.
Oh, wow.
All this negativity.
Parents can do that, though.
Yeah. I mean, they've mellowed out in their old age and stuff, but God, are they negative.
Then you have to cut them out of your life so much. You have to, I'm sorry, like, it's true.
Well, they're not really big. I mean, look, they're in my heart, but I don't see them every day. I mean, I talk to them on the phone just a couple minutes.
You have a lot of negativity in your life because we talked about that recently, remember?
Well, I don't think so. Well, maybe right now. Like, I don't even look at it that way.
Yeah, I think it's a right now situation. No, not like you.
There's shit in people's lives. No, well, I don't see it that way. I see it as things.
Well, like, think about this. Think about, like, the past four or five conversations we had. It's been about things going south with one thing or another. And it's been not because you're a bad person, but because of people around you, which is
well, circumstances,
poorly.
Yeah. So, but that's the thing. Is that's what life's about. I mean, look, everybody's got their challenges, but it's how you deal with it, right? It's how you view it. And
let's
I view
pull
it.
Some rose-colored glasses.
Yeah, exactly. And I need to view it in a more positive way.
Yeah,
you're right.
There's always going to be assholes. Like, there's always going to be people who don't love you and rude against against you, and you have to think about the fact that, you know, you have to be comfortable and know what you're doing is perfect and fine and correct.
Yeah.
And it is. You're a smart guy. You know what you're doing. You have stuff planned for here that we don't even know about that's exciting.
So yeah.
And you have to learn to trust yourself more.
No, that's true. That's true. You know what I saw? There was a, it wasn't a meme, but it was like a little something on Facebook, and it said,
Cute. I'm excited.
Well, so what it said was, let me try to focus again. Okay, it said, so it showed a man holding a glass of water. And it's like, first it asks, do you see the glass half full or half empty, right? And then it goes on to say, well, maybe that doesn't really matter.
It says, got something in it. Don't worry
about it. Well, the glass has water, and it seems light, but the longer you hold it, the heavier it seems, right?
Right.
And they're saying it's like the glass is you, the water is your problems, and the longer you hold it inside, the harder it is to deal with. So, which makes so much sense, you know?
It does. Right? It does. I, but you know what? Like, my mom is near your age, and she does the same thing. That my mom is like that. My mom handles things the same way that you do, and it's really strange. I don't know if it's like a
maybe a generational thing.
Yeah, because I know that like it's way more common here, like your generation coming from someone who's older. But I think your generation deals with problems very differently than ours does.
Probably, huh?
And I think that it frustrates you guys. We're way more laid back. I think it's stressful, but it's for us. It's like y'all are so turned up though. Like, I'm not sure why you're so stressed out over this, but in four seconds it will be totally over with. I think I'm such a type C person. Like,
what's that? Like, laid
it's
back?
It's not A, that's for sure.
It's not A, okay. What's B?
I mean, and it's definitely like lower than B. I'm just more or less like, I'm like, it doesn't take a lot to make me angry. I mean, it takes a lot to make me angry.
Yeah, it takes a lot to make me angry. Yeah. Well, that's good. I mean, it shows you don't have a lot of anger pent up and stuff, but I think many men do.
Yeah, it's a guy thing. It's true.
Right. It's like, there's a lot of aggression from men.
He's very upset about some things that have happened recently, and it's been sad.
Yeah.
But, you know, it's funny. It's like he deals with it so differently, and I think that's why we work well together sometimes, is because of that compliment, that yin and that yang, that, like, you know, if I were to be turned up like that and helping him deal with it, he would be super stressed out.
Right, right.
You know, but you need that calm energy around you to deal with a problem, or else it
becomes bigger. That's why it's good to get someone who compliments you, you know, rather than someone who's totally, you know, I mean, they can be different. But yeah, you want someone to compliment you. You don't want, like, look, if you have two strong personalities.
I think he's cute when he's like that.
Yeah.
No, dude, it's cute. You know, he gets fussy sometimes and it's cute.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's adorable. I mean, you know, and I mean, I know he's not happy and he's not going through a good time, but it's, you know, it's interesting to watch how he will deal with it so differently.
Right.
Just intrinsically.
Right. But the bottom line is that I'm not, I'm having as many challenges in my life as ever, but I don't sit and complain about them. I don't bitch about them, you know. No, listen, if we had conversations, because we did, but I don't go around feeling that
I'm definitely
a victim or something, you know, or like that I have more than my share of problems.
But you do, though. Like, I think you do feel that way, and I think you do have more than your fair share of your problems.
I don't. I think you don't understand me.
No, because, like, no really.
I know where I'm coming from, and I know myself every day. And the thing is that I don't feel any more stressed now than I have in the past couple of years. I really don't.
That's the thing, though. You should, because you've made a lot of life changes, and you should be feeling significant less stressed. So that's the problem, Samski, you've made so many changes to feel better, and that you're such a loving and caring guy.
You don't feel better because
you're not following through with the changes.
Well, I don't know. I'm a lot less stressed and angry than I used to be, and negative, too. I used to be extreme. I used to be extreme, yeah.
But that's what I'm telling you. Look, currently, so I couldn't imagine you anymore.
Really? I seem extreme now?
But see, I'm really laid back. So I'm like, whoa, he's like turned up over something.
Maybe you're the other extreme, you know? I don't know.
Kind of. Probably so. That's okay. Which is okay. I think that's why I think
like, maybe even carefree. Can you be too carefree? Where it can be the, like, you know,
maybe so. As long as you pay your bills and you make your money and you do what you need to do, I think as long as you're taking care of what you need to take care of your obligations, you're allowed to be as carefree as you want to be.
Yeah.
But you can dance outside the box all the time after that.
Yeah.
But okay, you need to meet your obligations first. But then, you can be. Then I want you to be as carefree as possible, because that's the time that you're not working. Once you've already paid your bills, you don't work anymore, and you take the time to enjoy whatever you have left.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, and take the blessings as they come.
Yeah. No, but I totally feel that the hardest thing for a person to do, that's what they came here to work on. I think that's the lesson you came to do.
I totally agree.
Me, it's like I'm constantly dealing with this negativity. And again, I'm not saying from outside, it's from inside.
Well,
it's the way I view things.
Would it shock you if I told you I was in the same position you were in maybe a few years ago, but I changed dramatically over my father's death?
Really?
Yeah. So it's like maybe I see and understand more than you realize.
Put things in
I was
perspective.
There.
Yeah.
I've been there. I've been exactly where you've been. Like everything used to irritate me and piss me off. Like it took nothing for something to piss me off. And I didn't. Because I didn't believe in myself.
Right.
I didn't necessarily believe that people had the best interest for me. So I always spun something into a negative situation.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And so then when my father died, because he was someone that would, you know, really balance me out, I had to learn to balance myself. So I did things all differently. I went vegan and I started doing all of my juicing and drinking water and taking care of myself. And then when I did, slowly, like, I started just really mellowing out. And then I realized not everything was a big deal. And I didn't have to carry all the problems in the world. So I've been there and I get it and I see it, but it just takes a huge, it takes a dramatic change because it's such a dramatic lifestyle.
Yeah.
And then you'll be so carefree once you try it. You just have to be like ballsy enough to be like, you know what? Forget all this right now. You know what? Forget you. And I cut everyone out of my life for a while. Everyone. I was hermit. I was like, I'll talk to who I want to. If I see you in the store and I don't look at you, you do not even say hello to me. I don't care. I moved and changed locations. I did a lot of things different.
Wow.
Yeah. It's so crazy, but I was turned up too at one point. Like I was
I know.
Rascal.
I used to be like dynamite, man. But also, you know, I mean, I've come out and said that I was diagnosed with bipolar disorder, which one of the ways it is like there's different forms to it, and I did not have the thing where you go without sleeping for days and spending a lot of money. Yeah, that manic problem. For me, the manic side is more like irritability. You know, so that's why it would be easy to irritate me. So when I'm on medication, man, I'm like a normal person. You see, my life is like a straight line right now. I don't know what you're seeing, but I'm seeing like I'm very calm.
I think
whatever happens to me.
You used to see this. I've never seen you like this. And I'm like waving my hand in dramatic gesture.
Yeah, she's showing like waves.
And I think that what I'm seeing now is this, like still waves, but they're much smaller and like they're more enjoyable.
You didn't
like
know me before, I'm telling you.
But I don't think medicine's going to totally fix or correct anything.
No,
like
it doesn't.
If you have diabetes, it doesn't totally, you know, you have to change. So it's like one of those things where it's like,
you need therapy with that too. And I've seen psychologists and stuff for a while.
But you're fine.
And therapists. No, but I think it's time to go back. I think a lot of the things I learned, I've sort of like put on the shelf. And you're right. I mean, sometimes that's why, you know, there's a lot of people walking around. It's like you tell them things and they don't even listen. They don't give a shit because they're entrenched in their position. I, on the other hand, I'm always open to what other people have to say because people can see things in you that you don't see. And it doesn't matter how hard you try or anything, people can see things in you. So everybody's got a message for you, even if it's not a positive thing.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. You know, when a woman asks, does it make me look fat? Well, do you want to know the truth or do you want me to lie to you? You know, because if you want to know the truth, I'll tell you the truth and we're not messing around. You know what you're dealing with.
I think I have a very big salient point for women. Never ask a question you don't want to know the answer.
Exactly.
To.
You know,
because men will give you the answer. And so you just learn to respect that, you know, just don't ask a question you don't want to know the answer to.
Yeah. You
never
know,
ask,
and I mean, if you're asking me if you're fat and you're fat, I'll tell you. And then,
don't ask me questions either.
Exactly. And it's not to insult you. It's to let you know that this is what other people see that you may not see. Yes, okay. I'm seeing you as fat. Maybe somebody else doesn't. But you're asking me, so I'm telling you. Not you, obviously.
I just love the way you explain it, though.
Right? Yeah, right?
The way you would tell her is, look, I see it as you're fat, but someone else may not. Like, that's some ballsy shit
right there. Exactly. But no, my point is
if I were
is
in
that
a room
people,
with you, I'd look over and just be like, your next step is to run, sir. You might want to just get a head start.
Look, my point is that everybody's got a message for you.
Absolutely.
Whether it's true, I mean, whether it's negative, positive things, that's why I listen and I make changes in my life, which I'm proud that I can say because many people do not, cannot, are stubborn as hell, and, you know, they're not open to. So I think, if anything, that's a sign of maturity when you're open to realizing that, hey, maybe I need to change. Maybe something is I'm not doing correctly. So that's that.
I mean, it happens. It's part of it. But I mean, I think that you have it in you. You know what's up. I mean, you already know the changes you need to make. You want to go see a doctor. A doctor's going to tell you the same thing I did. get that out of your life. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Doctor's going to tell you the same thing I did.
Yeah. No, that's true.
I'm
that's
free.
True, you know. There's a couple. Oh, I wanted to bring this up.
Let's talk about it.
A Detroit girl, 5 years old, shoots herself with a gun found under.
What is wrong with you? Why are we talking about this? Okay. You know how many of the headlines are out there that are positive, like my turtle story?
I know, but
you come
I
up in with a 5 year old shooting herself.
Well, I'll tell it. Okay.
Nope, rose colored glasses start now. Give me a better headline.
All right, I'll find a better headline. There is none. They're all shit.
You can't Google happy news.
Biden says I would have been the best president. Maybe. When I wanted the Republicans to win early on, I was hoping that he would not jump in, because if Biden jumped in, he would have taken it easily. Because for the people that want more of Obama, they would have voted for him. And a lot of people like that. You know, I think the Hillary people would have voted for him too. So
I'm so grossly unimpressed with the entire presidential election that I feel like we should all as Americans consign together and come and vote and say that we're all going to promise to be cool as shit for the next 8 years and no one's going to do anything fucked up.
Yeah, you get 350 million people to agree on that.
I think we should. Awesome, and then I think we should be like, we don't want either one of you in. we're just going to be cool for 8 years and in 8 years we'll find someone else, but we're just putting it on pause for now. Like, we don't want either one of you in, right? Because I don't feel like either one of them are... you can 100% agree... You can't 100% agree with a person anyway, but I don't 50% agree with either one of them. That's what's so stressful is it's like, ugh, they're so unfavorable. And really and truly, they have some good points. Don't get me wrong, both of them. At the same time, no one's talked about how they're going to achieve either one of them. It's just been talking points thus far.
Yeah.
It's stressful.
Yeah. You know, the thing is, for me, it's easier to decide where instead of asking who's better, I'm asking who's the lesser evil here. And when you look at it that way, you say, you know what, maybe I have to vote for Hillary, you know, because Trump could really cause a lot of problems. I mean, I'm totally like a conservative. Conservatives have to, the Republican Party is the only one that represents the conservative ideology. So you have to go with Republicans. But then you get someone like Trump and you go, what the hell? I mean, this guy's no Republican. He's no conservative. He's just...
He's like the I don't know what he Republicans.
Is. Yeah.
He's just really... He's
I don't know
really
what the hell he is. Now he won't release his taxes.
I haven't seen him pull back significantly. Haven't you seen him pull back on his cute comments and his quips?
He has. He has, because now he's realizing
it's... that he's definitely going in and he has to run against Hillary, and that's going to be the unfavorable portion of him. But what do you think that's going to help or hurt his campaign? Because someone recently told me that they think it's going to hurt it.
Which one?
They think it's going to hurt his campaign because he didn't get there on that premise. He got there on the premise that he was...
Of being outrageous and stuff? I don't know. I don't know. He's still being outrageous. Now he won't release his taxes. So, I don't know.
I don't care. I've stopped watching. I mean, I never really started watching. I started watching it, obviously, when Trump went in for the crazy stuff that he said. I had to go watch it.
Yeah. But you haven't followed it lately? Or have you?
No, I haven't. Yeah. No, I haven't.
Yeah, I've lost some interest too.
And everyone's like, what's wrong with you? You don't care. I'm like,
bullshit. It's more of the same.
I care, but it's one of those things where it's like, elections for what anyway? Like, why would I waste my time? It's funny that you think that elections work like that.
Well, but especially in California. I mean, look, I want to make a difference, okay? I can't because the decision's already been made. Both before it ever gets to California, the decisions have been made already. The winners are picked already. Right. So, you know, that's what sucks about California. And also because it leans so much to the left. So if you're a conservative, your vote means nothing in California.
You're right.
So, yeah. I mean, that's just the way it is. So it's hard to get involved in the politics the way they do back east, because there it's more relevant to them. They feel they make more of a difference. And here I don't feel I made any difference, you know?
I mean, well, you know, back home for me, I feel the same way.
You know, I mean, I registered. I was undeclared as far as party. And I thought, okay, well, in these primaries, I want to vote for someone. So let me register. So I registered as that party, And now I don't want the friggin'... what I mean is now I don't have a choice anymore because there's only one guy left. I can't vote for anybody. Why would they even bother to have primaries here for the Republicans? So right. The hell with that. Anyway, folks, this is it for today. We want to thank Sean McFate for calling in with his book Shadow War. Go out and get that if you're into political, military thrillers, things like that. James Bond type thing.
Very cool.
Leah, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks, Samsky. Thanks for having
always,
me.
Of course, you're always adding a lot of fun to the show, a lot of color. And we love that. And you put all the... you pointed the light on me on all my... shortcomings. So that's a good thing to think about a day after my birthday. No, seriously.
No, not at all.
Seriously, don't take it negatively. It was a compliment.
Yeah,
everywhere.
But I don't want you to see my shortcomings because they're not shortcomings. They're just things that are around you right now that you need to move from your life because so you can shine more positively.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So maybe I'll pick up a couple of positive thinking books or something.
For
we'll
people.
See. But I'm pretty happy. I feel I'm the happiest I've been in my life.
That's
right
great, though,
now,
but
yeah.
That's wonderful.
Yeah, except when my kids were born. But those were tough times in the marriage, too. So, anyway, folks, thank you for joining us, Leah. Thank you.
Thanks for having
see
me.
See everybody tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning, only on LA Talk Radio.